is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be trouble.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Bellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
O'clock hours here, Cole Kublik.
Okay.
I guess I need to confirm that with you. Glad to have everybody aboard.
Yeah, we're in.
We're on. We are live on this scene. Yeah, we are live. We are glad to have you guys aboard, and more importantly, glad to talk a little football, a little ball talk here on the program.
Yeah.
And it's curious, now that college football is technically over.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to start pushing the ball forward. And, of course, since
you don't want to push it backwards, by the way.
I tried. January 15th has passed, so all the early entries have been declared. Senior bowls are coming up. Combines are coming up. Workout days are coming up. But an interesting question is also coming up regarding the NFL draft and the future of it and some certain people in it. I've made my feelings known about Mel Kiper Jr.
And?
Well, just not a fan. Oh. Not a huge fan. But he is a semi, at least respected member of the media, and he, of course, is the guru of the NFL draft.
He does a good job.
And he was on a media teleconference yesterday discussing a bunch of topics. And some of those included Alabama and Auburn prospects. In fact, I did not know, Cole, and was not aware that Carlton Davis was as highly sought after as he was. Did not know he was comfortably a first-round guy.
Yeah, had a really good year. Really good year.
So let's specifically go to Alabama, because this is where this gets interesting. He was asked about Jalen Hurts, the controversial guy of the moment. He said, quote, he is a great leader, plays tough, and is a phenomenal runner.
Okay.
He also said, just did enough in the passing game to get by. When they needed more, they went to Tua, and they got it. So who knows?
They got it.
Nick isn't going to discard a Jalen Hurts, but to say he's a pro prospect right now, I'd say no. I don't think as a quarterback, I wouldn't say he was an NFL quarterback prospect. But we'll see if he can maybe change to another position down the road.
Ooh.
End quote. Now, we've heard this discussed before when we've talked about Jalen Hurts and whether or not he could be an NFL quarterback. And we said he is a great, he's a good football player. And that's what makes him so effective. But maybe not the pro prospect quarterback.
I don't view him as an NFL quarterback, per se.
But now we start to get an interesting side story on this. Jalen Hurts will not likely be an NFL quarterback. But do you think Jalen Hurts will have to change that position in college or when he wants to go pro? And then more specifically, do you think Jalen Hurts would change positions, let's say, this offseason, just to stay on the Alabama football team? Is there a prospect, do you think, of Jalen Hurts changing this year to continue to be a part of Alabama?
It's such an intriguing conundrum, because I think common sense wants to tell us no. Common sense and history would probably lead us to say he'll find somewhere else to play. He'll stay at quarterback. Look at the success that he had, leading his teams to wins, big comebacks, big plays. Yes, he's not the best passer, but he did a lot of other things. There are a lot of systems that he would be appreciated in. And if he's not going to get on the field, then how do you manage it? I think Alabama will do everything they can to keep him because, like I told you earlier in the week, they have three scholarship quarterbacks. So if one leaves, you have two. One gets hurt, you got one. That's not a good spot to be in. So I think he'll get every shot to win the job, and then if he doesn't win the job, probably still get a lot of he'll get a package, he'll get playing time, maybe even line him up in different places, but not completely change position. But just be a different type quarterback and a guy who lines up and does some different things for you.
That is where I think his situation is so interesting and unique, is that he most likely at this point isn't going to be the number one quarterback going forward, no matter if he gets his ability to try and win the job. I mean, seeing what he did in that championship game, that something like that wins over a team. And whether or not he'll have his struggling moments, Jalen had a ton of struggling moments, and Nick Saban and company stayed with him. So I'm sure Jalen will be given an opportunity, mainly because I think, just in line with what you're thinking, they don't got quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, they have to try and keep him.
They may not be able to afford to try and push him somewhere else this year.
Well, not even push him somewhere else, but I do believe they're going to have to try and find a way to get him some snaps and let him touch the ball, whether he's a short yardage guy, whether you have two quarterbacks that line up in the backfield somehow, some way, like ULM did a few years ago with Todd Berry. I don't really know, but I think that he can still bring value to the team, and I think a lot of people see what Tua did in that championship game, and I'm not going to try and downplay that at all, but I still think that Jalen Hurts can help Alabama win some football games. Now, I don't think he is quick twitch enough to realistically be a running back. Now, I've never seen him try to block anybody, so I don't know how he would operate at, say, H-back, fullback, tight end, that kind of deal. I don't know if he's really built to do that anyway. It's such an odd skill set because he's built extremely well to be the kind of runner from that position that he was. And I don't know if he offers – I don't know what his elusive rating was by PFF. But I don't know if he offers you open field elusiveness or is quick twitch enough to be a guy who can hurt you from the slot, a guy who can hurt you from the tailback position. Because keep in mind – a lot of the reasons that his runs work, just like a lot of reasons that a lot of other quarterback runs work, is that he's the unaccounted for man. So when you run a quarterback counter as opposed to a counter, that's an extra blocker. Not many defenses are designed to stop that. There's just not enough guys. And if you run a quarterback sweep as opposed to a toss sweep, that's an extra blocker. So that gives you a huge advantage, and it's one of the reasons that a lot of running space was opened up for him. So I just – you tell me, what position could he play? Where else can he be?
That's also another unique position about this, is because Alabama's pretty loaded everywhere.
Like, I could see Tua maybe being a slot guy. I could see Tua maybe being like a scat back. Like, he has that kind of quick twitch in him. Jalen Hurts doesn't have that.
Jalen Hurts.
Not saying that Tua should or could really realistically move, but I'm saying if we were having the discussion, I'll be more open to it with Tua.
Jalen kind of is a man without another position on this team that he can consistently contribute, unless it's the quarterback spot. Unless it's one of the spots
where is he on another team?
Well, maybe not a national championship winning team if he were to transfer.
Oh, no. There are a lot of systems out there that need, require, desire a mobile quarterback that he would be great for. They don't need him to complete 68% of his passes.
I just think with Alabama is so unique in this position that I don't know where he could go realistically this year in this offseason. You know, I think to try to keep them, because I think Nick Saban will want to do that, because as we mentioned, the depth at that position is just not there for Alabama right now. And even if they do sign a quarterback in February or next month, that's what, like 3 weeks away, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away? Even if they do sign a freshman there, the depth's just not going to be there for guys you trust. And How many other guys are you going to have on roster that have played in two national championship games at quarterback spot?
Yeah.
In case something went down and you needed him. So you are going to need him. If Tua goes on to definitely win the position in spring or in summer or even in early fall, then maybe that's an opportunity for next year to where you have a little bit more depth already built. There's more experience behind the guys, behind the number one there. And then maybe, just maybe, that's when you would try a move.
But I just don't think
Alabama can afford to do that now.
But let's think about how Nick Saban has managed his quarterback situations in the past. Rarely has this decision been made a month before the season, a week before the season, 2 weeks before the season. Mm-hmm. This is usually something that has gone 2-3 weeks into the season, and then there is a guy who sort of emerges. Can you do that with these two? Because you kind of know. I mean, it's not like a deal with A.J. McCarron and Blake Sims where, all right, we have two guys. They've both done some good things in practice, but I want to see how they handle themselves in games. We kind of know how they handle themselves in games.
I think one of the things you can look at and say, yeah, maybe we can string this out a little longer, is because the guy who's going to be calling offensive plays next year didn't call them this last year. So maybe, maybe, an outside shot that it takes a little bit more time.
You kind of want to see how
like a Mike Locksley or whoever to look at it and say, hey, maybe this doesn't fit exactly, and we want to make sure everyone has the best opportunity too. But I don't think Jalen's done by any stretch. I think he knows it's going to be an uphill battle for him to be able to win this. But I think that's why it's going to be so important for Nick Saban to recruit Jalen Hurts to stay on. And Jalen doesn't seem like the guy that wants to leave. I mean, Jalen doesn't seem like the guy who just wants to, at the first sign of adversity, walk away.
Well, that's the part that complicated the whole thing for me, is the way he handled himself during the championship game and especially after the championship game. There's no part of what he did, what he said, how he looked, how he acted that tells me this is a guy that's ready to bail. There's just not a part of him. He comes across as a team guy. Those are rare. Those are rare.
Especially at that position.
But I could see him if he had a role, any sort of role that carried any sort of significance, that he would stick around. Because I also believe that...
Listen, Blake Barnett thought he was going to be able to rotate in and play play game one when he got there, and Nick Saban apparently changed his mind. He thought he was being told by Nick Saban that he was going to be able to play.
Also, keep in mind with what kind of recruiters we're talking about here on this staff. They know how to recruit a kid. Now, they don't often have to recruit their own kid. They might have to do that this year, but I could see him putting a plan together to be able to recruit Jalen Hurts to say, we want you to stay, we need you to stay, and this is why. And sell him on it.
And we can figure out something for you.
All right, let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Joshua Wilbanks tweets, kick returner? ? Again, I don't know if he has that kind of, he's not quick twitch enough to be that kind of guy. In my opinion. It's not saying he couldn't get positive yards, but do I see him ever breaking one for a touchdown? No, not really. Have we seen him go down the sideline and run away from defenders very often? I mean, a lot of his big runs have come through the middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him get to the sideline and find key first downs and things like that. But could you convince Jalen Hurts to stay on just to be a possible return specialist?
Well, I think if you put something together, like if he was the holder, if he was helped in the return man, hands team, short yardage quarterback, and backup quarterback who you sort of went out of your way to make sure you played a little bit more. So if you're up 21-10 in the third quarter on Louisville, you give him a series instead of just letting your guy go the whole way. Mm-hmm. Which is, again, that becomes tricky because I know people might not like to hear this. Tua needs reps and snaps if he's going to be your guy. He needs
He hasn't gotten the game reps.
Right, and I know that there are a lot of people that are listening to this saying, you crazy, man. We've seen him play. All right. The kid still needs reps. He still needs reps.
He still has how many starts under his belt?
Zero.
Still technically not started a game.
So, Jalen Hurts' longest carry of his career, 60 yards. 55 was his long this year. So he's had a couple long runs, but...
Yeah, I think the national championship game 2 years ago was like a 35-yard run or something like that. I think he had a big run. Was it Mississippi State last year was a 60-yarder?
Yeah, he has 10 carries of 20 yards or more.
Not last year, his freshman year.
His freshman year had 16 carries of 20 yards or more. But he had 34 carries of 10 yards or more his first year and 40 last year. That, to me, is the kind of guy he is. He finds space. He's a kind of a one-cut guy, which is he usually makes one brilliant cut, and he creates and gets you first downs.
Arizona Jay tweets, Jalen has no choice but to change positions if he wants to be a successful NFL pro, and I think he knows that. So, yes, he'll stay at Bama, and Saban will find a way to fit Jalen in.
Ray Silly makes a great point, says, isn't Hurts the perfect Wildcat quarterback?
Wild elephant. Wild tide.
It's Wild Tusk.
Wild Tusk. I forgot that's what they did call it, Wild Tusk. Arizona J also has, Big Daddy Kiffin got a QB spot for FAU for Jalen. Just saying. He could get there this year. I mean, he'd have to sit out, but...
David Fleming says Jalen will make a terrible defensive back. He would be so easy to burn deep due to his expectations of every pass being severely underthrown.
Oh, Dave! Wow!
Didn't he overthrow Calvin Ridley in the corner of the end zone early in that championship game?
Yeah, but that was a short throw. Those are easy ones to overthrow.
He said every pass being severely underthrown.
Didn't he underthrow Calvin Ridley like in the semifinal?
Jason Thompson tweets, where's my Jacksonville Jag NFL jam at Arkishay? Said no one ever.
Come on, y'all. Rock me like Calais. Don't make me play that. It's Friday.
We don't need it.
I'll play that thing.
Matthew Knowles tweets, dang, at Red Ass Arky is tearing into Cole this morning.
Listen, I'm just trying to figure out if Cole thinks he could legitimately go year one as an offensive line coach into the freaking SEC. God bless him if he could. Ross asked an interesting question. Do you really think Jalen Hurts would give up a season of his playing time to be a kick holder?
Yes, just a holder. That's it. That's what I said. Just a holder. Man, that's exactly what I said.
He's going to be like...
And actually only on PATs, not field goals. Exactly what I said.
If I could have been Andy Papanastas' guy...
Thanks for paying attention.
And I'm kind of with Russ. It's like, you going to be able to sell me on holding for kicks?
Thanks for paying attention, guys.
Here's what
glad you're tuned in.
Here's what I need.
Good job.
I'm going to need about 75 more plays a game, and then I'll hold... Now, you can include the holds as games, or as plays in the game.
Chris Smith tweets, I can see him being a short yards quarterback like Tebow was when he was splitting time with Leak and like Bell Dozer for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I don't even think Bell Dozer made it through a season doing that. Jason Thomas tweets, remember Braxton Miller, Terrell Pryor, both ex-QBs turned wide receivers. Non-quick twitch, pretty successful NFL wide receivers. Have you seen Braxton Miller play football? The dude ran like a 4.29 at the combine. He's not quick twitch.
I've seen Terrell Pryor play.
He's also 6'5" and has like a 7.5-foot wingspan.
It helps. It helps to play receiver if you're a giant person.
Anybody else besides Jason Thomas think Jalen Hurts could legit move to receiver?
Cody Burns did it. Mm-hmm.
So he wants to be an associate head coach one day.
Eventually.
Looking for that path?
Start at Wachita Baptist.
I thought we started this conversation on his NFL prospects.
If he
could continue to develop as a passer, he could maybe be a great CFL quarterback.
I'm torn whether or not he would. We're talking about mainly to change positions to be effective continually at Alabama. Or to also then translate that to the league.
I think we should remove translating to the league. Like, we should stop that. And we should probably talk about more how could he realistically contribute to this football team next year. And More importantly, how are they going to keep him around? Because there's a good chance they're going to need him. Because Tua is mobile, and Tua runs, and Tua ran into contact like three times in that championship game. So he's shown he'll put himself in harm's way. So it might be a series, it might be a game, it might be a 2 or 3 week stretch. There's a good chance you're going to need someone else. I mean, no matter who you have, unless it's like Cam Newton, you're probably going to need someone else. Or Jamarcus Russell, you're probably going to need somebody else for some amount of time in this league playing that position. Not everybody, but there's a good chance you're going to need someone to fill in for some sort of absence.
Let me add to that mindset, because this happened last night. This comes from Drew Hill, who covers Texas A&M women's basketball. And if you missed it, Texas A&M women's basketball played Alabama women's basketball on the ump last night.
Mm-hmm. I like where you're going with this. Jalen Hurts has the long hair. Put him on the women's basketball team. I like it.
Shave first. Gonna have to get that out of the way. But Drew says, here is what Texas A&M women's basketball coach Gary Blair said about Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, and Nick Saban after the game tonight. What a classy move. Here's what he said, quote, congratulations on the national championship. It was special. And then here's where it gets real. Because, believe it or not, Cole, Tua, who has started how many games for Alabama again?
I don't know, a lot. 28, 7, 6, something.
Zero.
I thought you said Hurts, sorry.
Tua spoke to Alabama's women's basketball team before the game. That's happening right now.
All you girls on the bench, you never know what could happen at halftime.
Don't worry about the first half. Second half's when you're going to make your run. He says, I got to talk to the quarterback. He sat right behind our bench up there, the second one. He was sitting,
the second one?
I think he meant like this thing. I don't know, maybe. Second, he was sitting at the end in a hoodie. I told him what he and Hurts did. Every coach in America has been able to use that as an example about doing it with class, doing it like Hurts did, and doing it as a freshman stepping onto a stage like that. We can all use that. In today's world, in the I generation of athletes, you usually don't see that.
Gen I.
That was the best. I got the latest Gen I phone. That was the best thing about the national championship. It is how it was won, not the catch or the throw, but that they did it with class. So give Saban.
Actually, the throw and the catch had a lot to do with it.
I mean, it was wide open.
Especially after taking a damn sack on first down.
He looked the safety off like a boss. So give Saban a little credit, he asks. He doesn't need any more money, so just give him a little more credit.
Mm.
I agree, Blair. Coach Blair.
He's the greatest college coach in history. I'm not sure how much more credit I can give him.
No more money, more credit.
Ross Twing tweets back in, kick holder, short yard cube, quarterback coming in for a series in third quarter of the Louisville game. I was paying attentions. He also said, I just think it's in his best interest to go someplace where he can get quality playing time if he's wanted to go to the next level. Well, it's not going to be in this league, I don't believe.
Jason Thompson. Is Jason a relatively new tweeter into the program?
No, it's Arizona J.
No, Jason Thompson, the new, different guy.
At Arizona underscore J.
No, at Jason Thompson 73.
Oh, I'm looking at Jason Thomas. Sorry.
Thomas. We have a Thompson and a
Thomas. I don't know Jason Thompson. I believe he is new.
He's pretty new. And by the way, welcome in. Thank you, Jason. Not hearing the name enough, I apologize.
He added his senior photo on his Twitter account as well.
Hashtag motivational speaker, hashtag Tua.
Yes! Tagovailoa. What can he not do?
Literally has not started a game, and he's speaking to the team. How wild is that?
He said he saw him in a hoodie on the second row. Do you think it was not necessarily orchestrated? He just saw him. He's like, hey, would you mind coming?
No, that was Texas A&M's coach that said, I just saw him, and I was like, hey, congratulations on the national championship. Alabama wins the basketball coach. He's like, yeah, come talk to us.
By the way, good job by Texas A&M's coach of finding a way to get relevant and quoting something that people would actually share in this state. Because anything about the women's basketball team or his team, none of us would be talking about it.
I'll tell you this. I heard that game, and I don't even know if they won. I don't even know who won the game last night. I really don't.
Tua spoke to the team, Marky.
So they won the second half at least.
Exactly. All right, we'll get to a break. When we come back, our NFL picks for this weekend. Cold question of the day is up, by the way. Pinned to top Cube show. Who do you want to see in the Super Bowl? Presented by Dreamland Barbecue, dreamlandbbq.com. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. Located right here on University near Jordan Lane. Jags, Eagles, Jags, Vikings, Patriots, Eagles, Patriots, Vikings. Your current leader, do you want to take a guess who you think right now the listeners want?
Pats, Eagles.
Jags, Vikings.
You guys are anarchists. You guys are anarchists.
All right, we'll be back with more in our NFL Championship Saturday Sunday picks next. You hear how the beat just sounds warped? It's just not good.
Calais.
It's better than the other one you played yesterday.
Go get the podcast.
Jags theme song, something, whatever that was. Before we get away from Mel Kiper and what he was discussing about Jalen Hurts, he does have his mock draft in, first mock draft. He's got Josh Allen going to the Browns, number one. Josh Rosen, two to the Giants, and Bradley Chubb, three. Almost everybody else that I've seen has Sam Darnold at one to the Browns. I am not on board the Sam Darnold train. I don't think that he is that guy. I don't think he's programmed that way. And I think some of the throws that he makes are gross. And
sure,
I don't
sure.
see him being a good fit for a lot of different reasons. Personality-wise,
physically. Did he have
physically.
The most turnovers of any Power 5 quarterback last year?
Oh, there had to be more.
Power 5 quarterbacks?
I don't know.
I mean, he had a ton of fumbles, and I think he had definitely double-digit interceptions.
I think he had 13, 14 picks, maybe 15 picks last year. So, yeah. But a lot of people don't like this Josh Allen, number one to the Browns, but I do. I think the kid's tough. I think his mobility is great. I think he throws very well on the run, which you're going to need playing for the Browns. You don't need a guy who can just stand there and throw, because guess what? They're not good enough to let a guy stand there and throw. So, I think Josh Allen's going to be a good NFL quarterback. So, that's what Mel Kiper has and kind of what Mel Kiper sees. Coming up this weekend, you'll be able to hear Championship Sunday on The Ump.
Starting at 1 o'clock with the AFC Championship and then directly after the NFC title game.
Are you surprised that the AFC Championship is the earlier game?
I just rotate them. They just flip-flop them. No big deal.
Yeah, but I would think that you would kind of like flex that thing back or something because that's going to be the one that gets better ratings.
I don't know, man. That Minnesota game like, at the end got nearly 50 million people watching it. Is that like 46 million people that watched that game?
It's fair.
A lot of people watch.
All right, so Fred Siegel of Old Takes Exposed earlier this week kind of he picked the Jags to win, and he just said, I think there's going to be a way that they figure it out and find out how to get it done. It's going to have to be a lot of Leonard Fournette if they do, and it's going to have to be a lot of turnovers if they do, and New England's not a team that turns it over a lot. With a healthy Gronkowski, I just don't see it. Now, this hand situation with Tom Brady becomes very intriguing and one that changes some things because it allegedly is his throwing hand, which obviously
that big makes old Ron Paul.
It's his pretty hand, or what did we say earlier? His nice hand. Devin McCourty said a little bit earlier in the show. So that could obviously change things, and that could make a difference. You're intrigued by the line movement in this game.
Yeah, because I don't think you adjust that line if there wasn't some smart money being put to – the line was, I think, 9.5
I was going to say it's dropped 2 points.
No, like seven
and a day and a half?
Yeah, because this news, listen, it's still – New England's still the heavy favorite to be able to win this game. I think Jacksonville's probably in the best spot to be able to beat New England because of the hand. Actually, mainly because of how the offense looked last week. Blake Bortles looked competent. He didn't have to look otherworldly. And you don't have to be otherworldly to beat the Patriots defense. The Patriots defense will give up a lot of yards.
Yeah, it's not.
They still give up a lot of points.
It's not the same front seven as the Bruschi, Willie McGinnis type front sevens that they've had in the past. Now, Trey Flowers has played great football this year, but they're just not as big and bad and physical as they have been in previous years.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm Butler hasn't been nearly as good this year. I mean, he's worried about contracts. And
so if there were a way that you would think Jacksonville can sort of get this thing going, maybe it's Bortles leaving the pocket a little bit like he did against Buffalo, and then Leonard Fournette finding a way to bust off some big plays. Again, I don't really see it. Now, what I will be intrigued to see is how Jacksonville decides to try and remove Gronkowski from this game, because there are a couple guys that, like Miles Jack and Gronkowski, is an intriguing matchup. Now, the size advantage still goes with Gronk, but Miles Jack can run with Gronkowski.
Sure. Jalen Ramsey, they may put up again.
I was going to say,
they got two guys.
You could sort of move him over if you're going to play some sort of a pattern match or matchup zone and then try and man Gronkowski. That would be a guy that could also do it.
Yeah, because the Titans didn't have anybody that could match up at all.
So I'll be interested to see sort of how the Jags handle that. And then the big advantage really for Jacksonville is, I mean, with the way that Campbell has played, when Dante Fowler comes into the game, the way Malik Jackson's played, you don't have to bring six or seven guys to get pressure. And this New England offensive line has not been elite this year.
The only tried and true way to legitimately beat Tom Brady is to have his hand broken before the game. Now, the tried and true way is to get pressure up the middle and without having to bring a lot of blitz. That's why, despite the fact that New England won that game, last year they struggled against Houston, because Houston, with Wiley and Clowney, and especially with Wilfork when they had him last year, they were able to challenge Brady for a long part of that game because they could get pressure straight up the middle and right into Tom Brady's face. Tom Brady sees ghosts sometimes this year. He is a fainting goat at times. He doesn't like to get hit. He likes to go limp when things get a little bit dangerous for him. He's not used to having a lot of pressure put on him.
It's the TB12 method. Don't question it.
He's a fainting goat. So if you can get near him, I think there's a good chance you disrupt him and you put yourself in a good shot to win the game.
Offensively, though, Jacksonville still has to find something. And you have to think that Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia are going to do everything they can to remove Leonard Fournette from this game. And where are the other threats if you're able to be successful doing that?
You bring in one of the highest averaged rushing per attempt quarterback in NFL history.
Stop.
He has been right there with Michael Vick, yards per carry.
I understand that your baseball stats sound cool with this, but let's not act like
they're in the AFC Championship, aren't they?
Blake Bortles is busting off Mike Vick runs left and right.
YPC is right up there with Mike Vick.
Okay. What does the ATTs look like in comparison?
What's fewer years in the league, but yeah, sure.
Probably fewer attempts as well. So
that's what I mean. Like, fewer years, fewer attempts, fewer dog killings. So yeah, I mean, Blake Bortles has got that for him. I think Jacksonville's got a legit shot in this game.
We'll see. We'll talk some more. Jacksonville Jaguars next. J.P. Shadrick, member of the Jags Radio Network, will be with us right after this. Oh, Arky Reed's rap coming up at 8 o'clock. This might be a little hint of what you're going to get. Stay tuned. J.P. Shadrick joins us now, the Jags Radio Network. Follow him on Twitter at J.P. Shadrick. Jags obviously taking on New England this weekend in Foxborough. You hear the game right here on the Ump. We discussed it last segment. J.P., welcome in. How are you?
Doing great. Good morning. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. We talked first about just this matchup with Rob Gronkowski, and most teams do not have an answer. We saw Pittsburgh in a huge game with New England a couple weeks ago, not really have an answer, and Gronk torched them late in the game. It's been an issue for a lot of teams that have faced up with New England this season. But Jacksonville's defense is very intriguing with the kind of athletes that they offer up. How do you expect this Jags defense to attempt to handle the Patriots tight end?
I think it's the big question outside of how you get to Tom Brady. I think that's the big question of this game, is how do you cover Gronk? And you're right. I mean, this defense has speed. They have some size. It's one of the best all-around groups in the league. And you got to think back. Go back to a couple years ago when Denver beat these guys in this round. Aqib Talib covered Gronk a lot that day for the Denver Broncos, the corner. So Jalen Ramsey could be a matchup for him. Now, the problem is when he comes and lines up on the line as a blocker, then you got to switch that up, and then you got to have an extra guy out on the field as a defensive back if he's going to go out wide. So you got to have a couple of different scenarios. But then again, this is why you drafted Miles Jack, too. You traded up to get him in the draft a couple of years ago. It's for situations just like this. He's big enough. He's fast enough. So I would expect a combination of things, but don't be shocked to see Todd Wash kind of throw the kitchen sink with Rob Gronkowski here, because you're right, not much has worked around the league.
JP Shadrick with us of the Jags Radio Network. You mentioned getting to Tom Brady, and that's an area that I think Jacksonville may have an edge, not having to bring 5, 6, 7 defenders to sort of add that pressure. Do you think Jacksonville goes into this game feeling good about being able to, I guess, alter the pocket just with their front four?
Yeah, and that's what they've done all year, Cole. They've been fantastic with just four. You know, they haven't had to blitz a lot. They've got 6, 7 blitz packages in a game, but they a lot of times just don't use them because the front four is so good they can drop 7 and rush the four. I mean, you got this is a huge game for the three guys in the middle, four guys in the middle if you want to count all four. Marcell Dareus, certainly former Alabama guy. He's been traded down here to Jacksonville and has a new lease on life. I mean, the guy is on a playoff team all of a sudden that's a win away from the Super Bowl. His push up the middle. Calais Campbell, when he moves inside, he plays outside a lot this year. Defensive Player of the Year in the National Football League. Malik Jackson, of course, free agent player a couple of years ago from Denver. He's had a fantastic season. He's going to his first Pro Bowl this year. And then Avery Jones, the former Georgia player, who rolls in there as the nose tackle as well. Those guys against the three interior linemen for the Patriots, that's the story of the game. Because if Tom Brady hates anything, he hates flashes in front of him and guys around his feet. You know, you get a little lower. He's got to step into those throws a little more than he did in his younger days. So he hates that movement right in front of him. So push those linemen back in his face and not necessarily sack him, but just bother him. Marcell Dareus said, just be the gnat in front of his face all day long.
JP, I'm interested in the real big question on offense is which Blake Bortles are we going to get? Are we going to get the Buffalo one? Or are we going to get the Pittsburgh one? I'm curious from you've been able to cover the team for a while. Is there something that we can see or that you've noticed early in games that tell us sort of which Blake Bortles is showing up?
Oh yeah, I mean it's early confidence. You got to have some early down throws downfield, you know, to kind of get him going. There's a tendency sometimes with this offense, and I don't blame them because they run the ball so well to run, pass, and then run, pass, you get a punt, and then you're off the field and three and out. So there's been a tendency later now for Nathaniel Hackett, the play caller, to mix it up a little bit more and, get maybe run on first, throw on second downfield a little bit, get the tight ends involved, get some short passes in, and that's when you know. If you're hitting those, Blake's going to have a pretty good day because he gets a little momentum early. They get the run game rolling with it. Then he can play action. He's really good on the run, on the roll. So that's really the difference right now for Blake. He's been doing it more times than not this year, but that's the thing. He's really had a fantastic season overall. Well, fantastic for considering Blake Bortles. He's never going to be Tom Brady. He's not going to be, some of the elite quarterbacks in the league, Roethlisberger. He's going to be a 280-yard a game, 2 touchdowns, protect the football, make good decisions, let your run game roll, play some defense, and get a W. That's Blake Bortles, and he's done that a lot this year.
New England gives up a good amount of yards, but not so much on the point side. Is there something on this New England defense you think that this offense can take advantage of and maybe punch it into the end zone a few times?
Well, I think the offensive line for this Jags team is going to have a really good day up front. I mean, they had a great day last week against Pittsburgh. It's a group that, they've been banged up a little bit middle of the season. They had guys rolling in and out, especially in the interior of the offensive line. But now the starting band is back together, if you will. So they had a great day last week, and I think they're going to at least try to push him up the middle. I mean, and of course, Bill Belichick's going to take the best thing away to do, and that's run the football for the Jaguars. So you're right. I mean, they give up yards, but it gets tight in that red zone. But the Jags' offense is one of the best in the league in the red zone. I mean, Blake Bortles has 20 touchdowns, no interceptions in the red zone this year. So once they get down there, they've been able to find a way with a number of different targets to get touchdowns, not just running the ball, but Mercedes Lewis or, Keelan Cole on the outside or, flip it to a running back out to the wing and get it in. I mean, they've got a lot of different guys that can make plays in this offense. I think that's where they can kind of make hay here.
If you had to select one, or maybe not even a player, because we saw T.J. Yeldon have some success against the Steelers again last week, former Alabama running back, and J.P. Shadrick is with us of the Jags Radio Network. Maybe not an individual player, but just a direction that the offense goes – Well, let's say Yeldon, Fournette are not really going, and New England is overcommitting, and they're stopping the run. What adjustment would you see at that point for this offense?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, that kind of goes back to play calling again, right? If they're going to run, and they're not being able to run, then they got to stand back there and hope Blake Bortles has a really good day. And, you know, I don't say that they don't believe that he can, but they'd rather have a more balanced look than that. So if the run game's not going, I mean, you got to figure out a way to slip a tight end out there. Mercedes Lewis has been around the league for a long time. He hasn't really been a fantastic pass catcher in his career. He's more of a blocking tight end a lot of times. Now, of course, he won the Mackey Award 12 years ago. That's a long time ago, coming out of UCLA. And he had a 10-touchdown season some years ago to get paid. He had a 3-touchdown game this season, but that's been about it. That was in London against the Ravens. So something like that. Slip a guy out. You've got some speed on the outside. Marquise Lee is here. D.D. Westbrook has the quickness in the slot. He's been a good addition later in the season coming off the injured list. And then Keelan Cole, young guy. They can go down the field. He has speed as well and some height to get up over guys. So that's the question. That's a great question, right? Because if they don't run, they haven't really proven consistently that they have a true threat other than that. So that's a problem if they can't run the football.
JP, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
I hope so, because that would mean the Jags have won in advance. So
absolutely.
We hope that happens, Cole. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you. JP Shadrick of the Jags Radio Network, Alabama alum, by the way. At JP Shadrick, you can follow him on Twitter there. So I think that's probably I feel like we covered a lot of big question of the game there. But to me, the biggest question will end up being, if Fournette and Yeldon don't get going, where does that offense turn?
Nowhere. They're not gonna. They haven't done it this year. They're not going to this year. They've got Fournette, Yeldon, Grant. They got to get that running game going.
Okay, there it is. When we come back, Arky Reed's rap returns to the Ump next.